Well, good morning again. This morning I've entitled this sermon, Positive Mental Attitude. And as I'm going down through here, you might think, what's he talking about? You just bear with me for a minute. We'll get to it. Now, I want you to know, before I get started, that if you get your feelings hurt about a non-politically correct sermon, you're going to be in sad shape today. So it's not a politically correct sermon, and I don't really care because it comes from the Word of God.
Amen.
We've got several scriptures we're going to read. We're going to start in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Then we're going to Exodus 14, 2 Kings 5 and 6, and Luke 8. So if you want to kind of start working toward that. Now, I got a question for you right here at the beginning of this. And I think it's a question that we all ought to ask ourselves. Do we ever just stop and look around at the condition of the world that the world's in today? I mean, have you just looked at, how many of y'all don't have a TV or a radio? It don't take but just a second listening to the daily negative to see all the bad stuff that's going on. It's pretty depressing, isn't it? And I don't know how people that don't know God, don't know Jesus, makes it through this old life that we're living in now, because it is very depressing. Okay, for as long as I can remember, at least up to 9/11, we Americans lived in a relatively safe and secure environment. Yes, we were involved in some conflicts overseas, some that were called police actions. We sent our young men and women over there in harm's way to fight for freedoms, not only of this nation's, for other people and human rights that were being violated, but all the while we enjoyed the good life here. I mean, we've had it good so long. God, good and noble, causes to protect innocent people, no doubt, wherever they are. I believe that is our duty. But even the great wars, you know, World War I, World War II, were fought entirely on foreign grounds. And we here in America have lived our life of freedom while the rest of the world was in turmoil. Not meaning to take anything away from the families that gave everything by sending their husbands and sons and daughters to fight in these foreign places so that we didn't have to fight here, because I have nothing but the greatest respect for them. We fought to preserve a life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, all the while being insulated from it by oceans, the harsh realities of the ravages of war. Have you ever really just thought how good we've had it for all these years? I mean, just little things. Little inconveniences, like having to shield all your lights after dark so the bombers don't have a target to aim at. And the air raids go off. You have to get them up in the middle of the night screaming and scared to death and take them outside or downstairs or into some bomb shelter somewhere. We didn't have to face that here. That all changed somewhat, to a big degree, after 9/11, when those terrorists took control of the planes, crashed them into the Twin Towers, into the Pentagon, and would have crashed them into Washington, D.C. if it hadn't been for those brave men and women that took over that flight and caused it to crash before it got there. So since that day, we've seen a downward spiral of our peace and safety and security. Mental attitude here. Not only have we been attacked by terrorists from other countries, but those crazy teachings that come from over that part of the world have come to live in our great nation. It's a sad day in our history that we've allowed this. If you watch news nowadays, you will see this radical ideology everywhere you look. We live in a time when we're just waiting for the next attack. I mean, think about everything that's going on now. I mean, who would have ever thought that, you know, 15 years ago or so, we would have ever gave a notion to some stupid, radical idiot coming in a church building and killing a bunch of people. That's the life we live today, and it's largely due to the change in the attitude of the whole world, but especially in our nation. It's spilled over not only into our churches, but our schools. It's not uncommon anymore to hear of a shooting in a school somewhere. Folk, we shouldn't be dealing with that, you know? I mean, really, it shows just how degraded this nation is. You are being ridiculed for being a Christian. Everywhere you go, you just open your eyes and think about it. We've been invaded from within with these left-wing nuts who want to turn this great nation into that place that they come from over there and take our rights and our freedoms away from us. They want to change us into some socialist nation, giving up what our forefathers fought and died for. It's happening right before our eyes. These radical ideas have made it right straight into our political system. Hear one bit about you. They're only worried about enriching themselves and having the good life for themselves. Don't kid yourself, folks. I don't care which side of this deal you're on. Don't kid yourself. Our political leaders are just out for themselves. They don't care about us. We see it being pushed on us through what we owe everything to work to those who are too lazy to work for themselves. It's being pushed down the pipe that we're supposed to let everybody have free everything and free health care, free education. Let's just open the borders up and let everybody in. I want you to know something this morning. Anybody can hear this. I got one thing I want everybody to hear. Nothing in this life is free. Amen. Somebody had to pay for it. You see, we say salvation is free, and it is free to us, but God paid the price for our salvation. And don't think it didn't cost. It cost God greatly for us to have this free gift of eternal life. Everything that they're wanting to give away up in Washington right now is costing somebody. And anybody that don't know that needs to get their head out of the sand and look around, because somebody has to pay. We see it in our judicial system as well. If you make a little mistake on your tax return or something, they will confiscate everything you have, throw you in jail, and you may not ever get out. Fined heavily, all those things. All the while that people are trafficking in drugs and all these other things that are going on, get slapped on the wrist, turned loose to do it right over again. We see it everywhere we look. We see a system that rewards those in power with a different set of rules than those who actually do the work. Is there any hope? I mean, I know this is sounding depressing, isn't it? But the question I have for you, is there any hope? Sadly, if we were relying only on man's wisdom, the answer is no. If that's all we had to go on, the answer is no, there is no hope. Our nation, its people, need to get back to serving a true and living God. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, this is one of those scriptures that I have, because truly, I told you this was going to be a sermon that's not depressing. I know it started out that way. You just bear with me, because there's hope in serving a true and living God. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Listen to me, friend. The hope that we have as a people, as a person, as an individual, only comes from serving God. You see, God is up there and his ears are open and he's waiting on America and the world to pray this prayer. If my people, that's you and I, that's not talking about the lost in the world, it's talking about the saved, born again believers. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Like I told you, I have this scripture highlighted in my Bible. If you write in your Bible, if I was you, I'd highlight it, underline it, and circle it a time or two. Because there's hope that only comes when we focus on God and not on self. I truly believe that God will never bless this nation like it's been blessed in the past, or like he would like to bless it, as long as we condone homosexuality and the aborting of babies. Amen. Americans murder over 1 million babies every year. Shame on us. And when you watch TV or just walk down the street with your eyes open, not with your head stuck in the dirt, you will see the promotion of homosexual lifestyle being just as good, if not better, than what God ever intended for us to be. We see this lifestyle also spilling over into what we're now being told is called general neutral, whatever that is. In other words, what they're telling us is that you can wake up this morning and decide whether you want to be a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. Now, put your clothes on, and you'll see exactly who God intended for you to be. And let me tell you something, he didn't make any mistakes. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. You see, there's an order about which we go about this. God's people need to humble themselves and pray and seek God, and then he'll answer our prayer. The problem's not the lost people in the world, folk. The problem in the world today is the saved people that are not following God's direction. Now, I know you might be thinking, preacher, this ain't got nothing to do with no positive attitude. Boy, this is depressing. Well, you're depressing me. Well, I get depressed when I think about it too until I read God's word. You know? It can be depressing. But I want you to know this morning that we do have hope. Is there any hope for our nation? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, you see what we need? Do you see what America needs? America needs to get back to humbling themselves before God and seeking his will, not only in my life, but in your life and in this nation. I do have a positive attitude about the future. Sometimes I have to think about it for a minute to get back to there, but I have a positive attitude about the future. I want you to think with me just for a moment as we go through some scriptures. Exodus chapter 14. Going back in time for just a little bit. I want you to see this morning that the world has always had the same hope of a brighter tomorrow. Exodus chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Now, leading up to this, the children of Israel had been in bondage down there in Egypt. And Moses had been prepared from birth, you might as well say, until this time to lead God's people out of Egyptian bondage. They'd been through a lot. They'd been through a lot, all the plagues and all the things that they went through. God even blessed them with great wealth when they left. They took the spoils of Egypt with them. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Phahoroth, between Migdol, the sea, over against Bazphon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And verse 5, excuse me. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. Now, I want you to think about this. You've heard the story. They're backed up against the Red Sea. They had went where God had told them. But if they hadn't focused on God, they couldn't see anything but doom and gloom. They had nowhere to go. All of Pharaoh's mighty army was bearing down on them. He had them hemmed up, and they were in doom and despair. They weren't going anywhere. Excuse me. Nowhere to go. Okay? But God told Moses, you hold up this old shepherd's staff, and I'm going to roll back the sea. Moses had faith. Think about that. Moses had a positive attitude. I want you to know that Moses had his positive attitude because he had seen God work. Folk, he held up that old shepherd's staff, and the waters of the Red Sea were rolled back like a scroll, and the children of Israel walked across on dry land. Moses had a positive attitude. If Moses had said, I can't. If Moses, just one guy, God's man, had given up and said, we are trapped with this, would they have perished? I don't know, because he did have faith and he did have hope and he did have a positive attitude and he held it up. He knew. And we need to understand that whatever God told him, whatever God tells you, will happen when we humble ourselves and seek God's direction. There's so many accounts in the Bible of people with positive attitudes. 2 Kings chapter 5. We talked about this fellow for just a little second this morning in class. This is another story that I just love, which I love them all. 2 Kings 5, beginning in verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now, just so you understand, those that had leprosy back in that day, it was not a curable disease, and it was very contagious. And so this was about one of the worst things that could have happened to him. He was a great man. He was a mighty man, and God had blessed this whole nation through him, but he was a leper. In verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, think about this for just a second. This mighty man of war, and Syria had sent out all these soldiers, and they had captured many Israelites and brought them back there to be their servants. Among that great number of captives was one little maid that waited on Naaman's wife. Just a young lady, captured, servant, separated from her family. But look in verse 3. And she said to her mistress, Naaman's wife, "Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." This young lady knew the power of God. Well, preacher, how did she know? She's a captive. Her nation's been overcome. She knew God. She knew God. With the prophet in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, in verse 4, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Israel, or Syria, said, Go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Now that's a pretty good caravan he's sending down there, right? And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is coming to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant unto thee, or to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." You see, the problem with this is a lot like the problem that we face today. People are putting their faith of fixing the problem in the leaders of the country instead of putting their faith to fix the problem in the God of the country. They went to the wrong person. Here's this king of Israel. He read the letter. In verse 7, it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." The king of Israel is basically saying, "I'm not God. I can't do these things. This king of Syria is just trying to seek a quarrel with me because he knows I can't do it." Verse 8. Excuse me. "And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go, and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper." You see, he went there expecting something different than what he got. How dare this man of God not come out and see me? I'm Naaman, I'm riches. How dare he just send a servant out to talk to me? He was wroth. "Are not Abana and Phephar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came away like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." The maid. She was a person of positive attitude. She had great faith. The mighty man doubted, but the maid knew the power of God. She knew that the prophet of God could heal her, this servant, even if he didn't. Isn't it amazing that God often wants little things? God often wants little things from us so that we will know that what we got is through his power. What a picture. Salvation is like that to me. If God had said to you, I'll save you from your sins, I'll save you from the penalty of sin, which is death, and all you have to do is pay me $1 million. It wouldn't be nobody here this morning. Everybody would be out working trying to make that $1 million. If you'll pay me that $1 million, I'll save you. People would be working themselves to death trying to get enough money to buy salvation. God, though, did all the paying. And all we have to do is the reaping of the benefits. Be a person of positive attitude. Know that God has done for you what you couldn't do for yourself. One of my favorite stories in the Bible also comes from 2 Kings, the story of Elisha and the chariots of fire. Remember the story? The king of Syria was at war with Israel, and he tried several times to trap Elisha, and he wanted to kill him, but God's angel had led Elisha around every trap. But in the end, toward the end of this story, finally, the king and his army had Elisha and his servants surrounded. And when they got up that morning, they looked around. They were terrified, or at least Elisha's servant was, that he saw all the soldiers, and he asked Elisha, what do we do now? We're trapped. We're done. 2 Kings 6 and 16. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Listen to me, Christian friend. You're never outnumbered when you have God on your side. Never. Look at verse 7. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Listen to me, Christian friend. What needs to happen in America today is that God's people need to pray that people's eyes will be open to the reality that God is in control. He knew that God had everything under control. Elisha did. Men and women of positive attitude know that there's always hope. They look for the good in everything and every situation that comes along. We Christians, we believers, we that have been born again, we should be the people of the most positive attitudes that there is in the world. Because I submit to you this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're a winner, no matter what this world does to you. Go to the New Testament, Luke chapter 8. I'm trying to hurry. I could have put a lot more in here this morning. I'm cutting it short, Rosie. Luke 8:43. The power of Jesus for you. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and saidst thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now, she was a woman of positive attitude. She knew that she could get in the presence of Jesus Christ. If she could just but touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. Her faith healed her when nothing in this world could. Story after that power of God work. We see all this going, all that is going on around us in this age we live in, and we say there's no hope. And I say unto you that we have hope when we trust God. Have a positive mental attitude. Do you know that if you talk to someone and they see your positive attitude, they feed off of it? So when you go out in faith and when you have a positive attitude, it spills out. It spills over. It affects those that we come in contact with. You know what? We have something to offer this world that can only come from born-again believers. That's hope. We have hope in a better tomorrow. Maybe not on this life, not in this world, but in eternity. We have that hope. Hope in a better tomorrow. Hope of an eternal presence in the presence of God. But if we look and act like we're defeated before we start, no one will listen to us. Do you have a positive attitude when you talk to people? This old world we live in is in a terrible, terrible mess. Now we know it isn't going to get any better because God himself has to cleanse it in the end. But we do know also that we can make a difference while we're here because of a positive attitude. Despair not. There's hope. Have a great attitude. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a winner. You've already won. I think of the Apostle Paul and all the things that happened to him. You remember the story of the Apostle Paul? He persecuted Christians. He even saw to their deaths. But when he got saved, his attitude changed. And he had a positive attitude, and he changed lives everywhere that he went. No matter what happened to him, no matter what situation he was in, being stoned and left for dead, he got up preaching the gospel of Christ. We stump our toe and don't feel like coming to church. We look for every reason that we can find not to go witness to someone. What's wrong with us today? We've lost our hope. We've lost our positive attitude. We have lost our faith in God because we don't trust him to do what he said. All we're people, and then God works from there. Paul showed them with his attitude, and many believed. You know, we go down the road and we see road rage everywhere we look, and everybody's mad at everybody else, wanting to run them off the road. If you ever watch YouTube, you can see it everywhere you look, just go in there and watch people that just crowd into people, run them off the road and everything else, put life and limb in jeopardy because of a little bit of anger. I dare say that many of those people have probably been in church. What happened to their attitude? Does your attitude, does your faith just go to that door and stop? Or do you take it with you? If we're ever going to change this world that we live in, we have to take what we have here inside this church building through those doors and share it with a lost and dying world. You meet somebody on the road, let them see your smile, not your frown. Let them see your happiness, not your anger. I need to work on that one myself. All of us do. When you read the Word, you will see that these things we are dealing with today have to be done before Jesus comes back. And I believe, and I have faith, that Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
And it may be sooner than a lot of people want to think about. Maybe not in the not too distant future. I believe that it's very possible that many of us that are here in this sanctuary this morning could see the coming of Jesus Christ in the sky. How many are we taking with us? Are we content just to take ourselves? A line from the movie Remember the Titans that I will never forget. It said, leadership reflects attitude. How's your leadership, folks? What are you projecting? We cannot be beaten before we even take the field. Fight the good fight. And watch God work. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, then I will hear and I will heal their land. America needs a good dose standing up and proclaiming God. What are we going to do? Are we going to develop a good attitude, or are we going to just sit back and watch the world go by? Fight for those you believe, you love. Fight for those you love. How many of us in here this morning have some that we love dearly, some of our kinfolk, that don't know Jesus? How many of us in here have some of our kinfolk that do know Jesus that are not going to church like they should? Folk, we can make a difference in their lives when we show positive attitude. God's in control. God has this. All we have to do is our little bitty part. What is a positive attitude? Faith that God will do what he said he would. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died on that cross for us. I believe that after 3 days he rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And I believe that today he's alive and well, sitting on the right hand of the Father. I believe he's coming back. I believe that our strength and power comes directly from him. What do we have to fear but fear itself? The power that we go forward with is the power of God. In Matthew 28, Jesus himself said, all power is given me. A positive mental attitude reflects our faith in a true and living God. Do you have it? Well, if you don't, you can get it. Just takes a little bit of work, a little bit of training. Train yourself to trust God. Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't know how you make it through the next day. But I have good news for you. The Holy Spirit is working on you and leading you to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your whole outlook on life will change.
Amen.
Christian brother and sister, maybe this world and you've got yourself to thinking there is no hope. I have good news for you. We have hope in Jesus. No matter what happens in this life, it doesn't matter. Because if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are assured of a better tomorrow in the presence of God. Don't stay in the rut. You don't have to be down there. We serve a risen Savior. Have a positive attitude. Let's get busy and change this world. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, I will heal their land. You know what America needs? Humble Christians praying. I'll ask you to stand. I'll ask our pianist and our song leader to come. If you would bow with me for a word of prayer, please. Father, as we come to you at this time, I'm so thankful for your word that shows us that we have hope. And Lord, as I look around and I see all the bad things that are going on in the world, even right here in America, the good old U.S. of A., I thank you for the hope that's inside me through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that if there's any here this morning that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they will fix that before it's eternally too late, so that they also can have hope in the future. Lord, if there's born-again believers here that maybe have gotten themselves in a rut or going through hard times, Lord, I just pray that the Spirit would impress upon them that we have hope through you, and that nothing that this world can do to us will keep us from realizing what you have for us in eternity. I pray for the lost round about us, Lord. I pray that you soften their hearts, that you open the doors that we can walk through, that we might be different, that we might make a difference in their life. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 300.
Once from my poor sin sick soul, Christ did every burn. I walk redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus, hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus, I cannot stray, hand in hand with Jesus.
Well, you know, that's the only way I get through this life, is walking hand in hand with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I've been when I didn't do that many years ago. Thank God he gave me the opportunity to get my heart back right with him. Didn't ever lose my salvation, but lost my attitude. But I dare say that God has a plan for you. And all you have to do is have a positive attitude. Know that his will be done in your life when you just turn it over to him. You know, this great nation that we live in, we're so blessed. And sometimes I think we don't really realize just how blessed we are to live in America. And I know I gave you a big list of a lot of hard things that are going on in America today, but I want you to know this, that I believe that we are living in the greatest time ever in this earth, because we are seeing the prophecy of God fulfilled even as we speak. Read, we're going through and everything that's happening in the world has to happen before Jesus comes back. Y'all want Jesus to come back?
Amen.
Amen. It's getting close. We got a lot to do. The fields are white with harvest. We're the reapers. Walk hand in hand with Jesus as we sing.
In my night of dark despair, Jesus heard and answered prayer. Now I'm walking free as air.
I am so thankful to be here this morning, and I'm glad y'all are here, and I'm especially thankful that Brother Dean's able to be here with us.
Amen.
We love you, Brother Dean. Hopefully you get to be back with us again soon. He looks pretty good, don't he?